All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm talking to you from the borough of Queens. It is the 19th day of July, 2022. We do want to thank all of you for listening to the show, making it one of the more popular shows in the Voice America Business Channel. Also want to thank you and encourage you to send along whatever comments you have about this show. It's helpful to us to know what you're thinking and what you would like to hear. Send those along to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com, questions4taylor@gmail.com. We do want to thank our sponsors. This week's sponsors are Irving Resources, Noble Resources, Eloro Resources, SK Mining, Timberline Resources, and Lion One Metals. I've titled today's show, Is Central Bank Gold Price Rigging Just a Conspiracy Theory? Chris Powell, Dr. Quentin Henning, and Michael Oliver return this week. On August 15, 1971, President Nixon detached gold from the world's monetary system, and there about the same time he declared, "We are all Keynesians now." By so doing, he set the stage for massive amounts of inflation, not only in consumer prices, but in stock and bond prices that served to siphon wealth away from the middle class to the billionaire class, to an extent even greater than that of the robber baron period of the 1920s. To con the world into using an intrinsically worthless dollar after 1971, the Nixon administration used the U.S. military to protect the power of Saudi Arabia, the royal family, in exchange for requiring gold be sold in dollars, that is, requiring the Saudi Arabians to force OPEC to sell all of their oil in U.S. dollars, thus putting a prop or a bid under the U.S. dollar, allowing it to have value that it would not have had otherwise. But even with a dollar propped up by oil and the U.S. military, during times of market tumult, investors instinctively opted to exchange their dollars for gold, which posed a threat to dollar hegemony. As a result, the Bank for International Settlement, or BIS for short, which is known as the Central Bankers Bank, arranged for major banks in the Western world to suppress the price of gold during times of chaotic market conditions to retain confidence in the dollar by suppressing the price of gold until market conditions would return to normal. If gold were to surge dramatically higher during such times, investors and citizens in general would trash the dollar in exchange for real money, money with intrinsic value like gold or perhaps silver. But that would kill the ambitions of our military-industrial complex to expand the American empire. Recently, a consummate insider in the London gold bullion market, Peter Hambro, went public explaining how the BIS has been rigging gold markets using bullion banks paper gold, or the futures markets, in other words. But long before Mr. Hambro discussed the nasty behavior of the rich and powerful to subdue the middle class, Bill Murphy and Chris Powell created a nonprofit organization known as the Gold Antitrust Action Committee, or GATA for short, to make the world aware of this clandestine operation of theft. Chris will be with me in the second half of today's show to explain how the elite have been picking the pockets of average folks for many years by suppressing the price of gold, and how they are continuing to do so even more aggressively now at a time when the world faces unprecedented financial and economic issues. A company that is working hard to begin gold production, that is, production of real money, is Lion One Metals. Its Tuvato mine is what Quentin Henning has identified as an alkaline deposit, which are among the largest and richest gold deposits in the world. Lion One is moving towards production, and at the same time is discovering incredibly higher grades of gold as it drills deeper underneath the existing deposit. So it's a very exciting story that Quentin will be with me right after our first commercial break to give us an update. But right now, I'm happy to tell you that Michael Oliver is back with me once again. Thanks for joining me, Michael.
Hi, Jay.
It's always good to have you. I understand from the sweltering peaks of Colorado, you're up in the highlands, but even there you're having a heat wave, I understand.
Yeah, it's fine. You know, it's very low humidity here.
That does make a difference, but if you have 120 degrees, it's hot no matter how much you... Anyway, you know, everybody wants to know about the gold markets. I mean, not everybody. People that listen to this show, most of them are interested in the gold markets. Many of them have investments in the gold shares as well as the bullion. In one of your, I think your weekend missive, you talked about 1673 as being kind of a key number. I think it was the lowest number of the last couple of years for gold. Do you think gold will hold that?
And it's interesting to me that silver took out the range lows of the last 2 years, ever since the summer 2020 high. It had established lows in the 21.5 level about three times. And it blew through that about a month or so ago and dropped down to 18. You know, now we're in mid-18, 19 level. Same with the gold miners. They had GDX, for example, had a bunch of lows after its summer 2020 high. They were all sort of horizontal, and it popped them out. But gold didn't. Gold had two major lows since the summer 2020 high. Both of them were under 1,700, March 2021 low, which we circled and called it as the low, was 1673. Mm-hmm. And so far, despite the break in so many assets, including silver and miners, gold hasn't touched that low. And it looks to us via our metrics, I'm talking right now a shorter term, intermediate term, which is the way to analyze this particular decline that's been underway since March, look like they're about out of gas on the downside. And it wouldn't take, I'm not going to, our reports specify numbers, but, it wouldn't shock me. If later this week you're back above today's highs, you've probably seen the low. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means it's probably the intermediate decline within the range of the prior 2 years, not violating the low of the range, for gold that is over. And in hindsight, we'll look back and say, well, gee, I never even broke through the bottom of the range, like, despite so many assets collapsing in large double-digit percentages. Right now, gold's down $100 on the year, thereabouts. What's that at about 5%? Compare that to any other asset in the world. Or, it's hard to find something like that. And if gold does hold here and start to turn, we also have some metrics on silver and the miners that suggest they could turn. And our bet is that if gold, in fact, does hold here within the range of the past 2 years, that the miners and silver will outpace it on the upside again. That's what they usually do. When gold's up, they're up more. When gold's down, they're down more. That's just the way it is. And I think that rubber band will snap back the other way quickly for the silver and the gold miners. The bigger issue right now, I think, for gold is this. I think it's a good idea to perhaps compare the synchronicity of the stock market and gold, and to some extent, the foreign exchange markets. Yes, the dollar's been strong, but it just recently collapsed three full points on the dollar index in a matter of four trading days. So it's a very sharp drop. We think it's probably topped and could come down hard, meaning the euro and the yen are finally beat up. A lot of these trend actions by the euro and the yen to the downside, upside the dollar, also the downside in the S&P and the downside in the monetary metals, is based on a common assumption. And what's that assumption? The Fed's going to tighten forever. They're going to break inflation, et cetera, et cetera. Well, people believe in the Fed on both sides. We don't. We think the Fed is playing their last game in history. They've only been around 100 years. Don't bet on them being around 5 years from now. The reason is, and this is something most people don't focus on. In fact, I've not heard it focused on any of the financial channels. A dozen-year stock market bubble of unseen proportions in U.S. market history has topped. That bubble in asset prices, a sevenfold gain in the S&P over a dozen years, a 16-fold gain in the NASDAQ 100 over a dozen years, is fully reflective of the Fed funds chart going down to zero effectively over that period of time and staying there, and the M2 chart going off the page. You can almost lay the M2 chart on the S&P. That bubble is breaking for the S&P because it needed, first of all, it was finally priced itself beyond. And once bubbles like that break, and again, this there's no comparison. The dot-com top, the 2007 peak, the real estate peak, none of the bear markets, the bull markets that led to those peaks or the bear markets that followed compare to anything that we've seen over the past dozen years. So when this bubble breaks, and it is in the process of breaking, we expect a lot of devastation that the Fed will have to come in and defend. Municipal bonds, high-yield corporate debt, all kinds of markets will come unhinged as their bubbles break. And that means the Fed cannot stay on the course that they're pretending to be on. And already, if you'll just look through the Wall Street Journal, for example, almost at random, you have news articles and or editorials that are saying the following. The Fed could overshoot. Watch out, Fed. There's a lot of concern that the Fed's going to overshoot. And our bet is they will, in fact, not overshoot. They will probably halt their rate rises. Not maybe this one will be the last one. I don't know. All they need is some economic metric numbers for them to have an excuse to say, okay, we're going to go on pause now and be data sensitive.
Yeah.
And I think that the markets have priced in the assumption that they're not going to be halt the process, and they've overdone it. In other words, the markets have overdone the strong Fed on the downside in the stock market and in the gold market. And once that overshoot has occurred, you're going to get the rally that we're getting in stocks now, and I think you're going to get in the miners, silver and gold, and also the downside in the dollar. All these, I think, are intermediate trend overshoots based on a false assumption of a sustained Fed tightening. And
well, that's,
when that becomes clearer, that's when these markets will discount it the other way. The Fed has to survive.
Well, I think the markets then are betting the same way David Stockman was last week when he was on my show and he talked about he thinks the Fed will remain tight, will remain, with QT longer, probably until the market breaks, because he thinks that they're scared to death of the same thing you said. They're afraid of losing, losing their jobs. The Fed,
of course, is the opposite of what he says. They could lose it the other way by being too tight too long and therefore having people more upset about losing their job.
Right. And I think he's looking at the inflation, the anger that's out there about inflation, the votes that the Democrats are fearful of losing because of it. And that, anyway, who knows? Yeah. Nobody knows for sure, but what you're saying, I think, is historically more accurate, more certainly what we've been seeing in the past. And either way, the Fed could be in big trouble. I mean, if they hyperinflate, they're not going to last either, right? Something will replace
the Fed.
They go,
I think they're in a swirly that they will not recover from this time around. They will lose public acceptance, economist acceptance. You're already seeing rumblings to that effect now about, oh, gosh, they're overshooting. Well, the flip-flopping can't continue, and pretty soon somebody's going to realize there should not be such a thing as a stock market cycle. We hear that all the time.
Okay,
the market cycle, shouldn't be one.
Oh, it's more of a credit cycle than anything. But let me ask you just real quickly. We're up. Our time is up, but I just want to ask you about commodities in general. Then they've pulled back quite a bit. You see, this as a correction. But I take it you're still really bullish as I was looking over your work recently.
There's an entire new wave to come.
Yeah.
Bloomberg Commodity Index, I think, is having a correction within an early phase of a major bull market. If you look at the Bloomberg Commodity Index trading now, 110 to 120 zone, go back in history and look at that price compared to where we were in 2008, 2011. It's hardly off the page. We're only halfway back to the highs. And this bull market just began in late 2020 by our metrics. Annual momentum trend. I think it'll probably last another year or two easily. And it won't be just focused in the energy sector either.
So a year or two, I guess, be on the right side, the right markets, commodities, gold, silver, and then hopefully at some point in time when the equity markets actually get their comeuppance and are repriced where they should be repriced, there may be some buys on that side of the market as well. And I will turn to you.
It might be like the 1932 low. You don't come back to your old highs for decades.
decades.
Remember, it was the 1950s before you could get back to the 1929 high.
So, all right.
I wouldn't be shocked
well,
by that
time,
either.
Well, time will tell. Thanks again, Michael, for your thoughts. Always valuable.
Thank you, Jay.
Thanks for spending time with us. All right, folks. We got to go to break, but don't go away because Dr. Quentin Henning will be with me to talk about Lion One Metals. The company's really on to the Tuvatu project. It is really looking great. Higher grades as they dig and as they drill deeper underneath the existing deposit. Very exciting story, so don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Quentin Henning.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Lion One Metals is focused on high-grade gold in Fiji, led by legendary Canadian financier Walter Barikoff. Lion One is permitted for production and drilling for discoveries in one of the most exciting high-grade gold projects in the prolific South Pacific Ring of Fire. Lion One trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LIO and on the OTCQX under the symbol LOMLF. Go to our website at liononemetals.com for more information about Lion One Metals and high-grade gold in Fiji.
Voice America programs are now available on your favorite connected device, including Amazon, Alexa, and Google Home. Through streams with Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio, listening to your favorite show is as easy as saying the show name followed by the word podcast.
Hey, Alexa, play Finding Your Frequency podcast.
If that doesn't work, try adding on TuneIn or on iHeartRadio or on Apple Podcasts.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.